Today's shiur is for Schus for Shalom and Bracha for Rafu Shleima. Today's shiur is Masechtik Subas Daf Tzadiches. We will begin on Daf Tzadiches Amar Aleph, 7 lines from the top. The halacha is that Ein Almana Nefras V'Nechsi Yisroimim, an Almana cannot receive payment from the property of the Yisroimim El B'Shvua, unless she swears. Well, we find often in Shas, the Chazal were very concerned about the assets of the Yisroimim, and they instituted many halachas to protect those assets. One halacha is that when the Almana comes to collect her assets, she collects her ksuba, she has to make a shvua. Another halacha is the Beis Din, as we will be learning, has to go through many different activities to make sure that halacha is that the assets of the Yisroimim were evaluated at to be able to get them the most possible. So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara. Shochrei Rabbi Brei the Ravel Rabbi Yosef. Mechash Loibe Bezdin. If Amona sold the assets of the Yisroimim for her ksuba payment, Shalaiba Bezdin, as we discussed in our previous year, typically the selling should be done right through a Bezdin Mumcha. She did not sell it through a Bezdin Mumcha. So says the Gemara, if she sold it Shalaiba Bezdin, now with a Bezdin Mumcha, Tzricha Shua. The question is, does she need to make a Shua that she got as much as it's worth, that she get more, to make a shvu exactly that she did not sell the property? Rashi explains that the shvu, the Gemara's questioning is that she didn't receive anything in her ksuba payment. Tosfos says that she has to swear that she sold it for its proper value. Oy, the question is, ain't tzricha shvua, that she doesn't have to make such a shvua. Ask the Gemara, the Tibay Le'echraza. We learned that normally when an asset of Yisroimim is sold, as we will be discussing in our coming Shiurim, we have to do Echraza. We have to make an announcement for 30 days to make sure, again, that they get the best price possible. So why, ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rabbi Yosef ask Rava Brei the Rava, why aren't you asking if Echraza is also required? Amalei, to which Rava Brei the Rava said to Rabbi Yosef, Hachroz lak mebayli. That isn't a question, because Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, Amona that's selling off assets of the Yisroimim, Sheshama la'atzma, instead of selling the assets to somebody else and take the money, she took the property and she so to speak, sold it to herself. The halacha is loyosav loklum. It's not considered a valid act, and the Yisroimim could demand that this entire transaction be reversed. Hechidami. So ask the Gemara exactly what is the case that's being referred to. Ida achris. If there was a bidding system put out for this property, so the question is amayv loyosav loklum. Why is what she did not meaningful? Of course, there was a bidding process, and she met the price that was required, so that they were able to get through the bidding process. So why is it considered that she did something wrong? Ella, what? How must we understand the layachris that there was no bidding process? And what the Gemara is saying is ella atzma. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that if she didn't do, if there was no bidding process, and she went and she bought it herself, that's when the halacha is like also like klum, that what she did is not considered a valid act, because we have to be concerned that maybe she didn't pay for it properly. Hala acher, but if she sold it to someone else, even though it didn't go through the achrozah process, even though it didn't go through the bidding process, the halacha would be masha asos, it's still considered a valid act. So that's why he says, I didn't ask about is an achrozah required, because it's quite obvious from this halacha of Reb Zeira that achraza is not required. My question was about shvua. Says the Gemara, l'olam d'achras. It could be speaking about a case where they actually did achraza. And Rav Nachman says, even though it went through the bidding process, still, if she bought it for herself, it's not going to be considered a valid transaction. And the reason is, the Amri Leiman Samlach, who gave you permission to keep this for yourself? And the way I saw Rashi and Rishonim explain, the definition of a sale is that the property or the asset that's being sold leaves the reshus of the seller and goes into the reshus of the buyer. If we have a shliach, and the shliach is really an extension of the seller, so what happened here is if she is the shliach, there really was no transaction. There really was no transfer of assets because she is the seller, and now if she is the buyer, the halacha is there was no valid transaction. If, on the other hand, she'll sell it to someone else, that's when the transaction will be considered a valid transaction. Because, as we have been learning, and will, Emet Hashem, continue to learn, that she was given the authority, essentially, she was appointed as a shliach to be able to transfer this asset to a buyer. So she, as the shliach, could affect that sale. But it has to be, there has to be a buyer and a seller. If she is the buyer, then there is no buyer and seller. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. However, there are other Rishonim that explain the Gemara says that the Gemara is to be understood when you buy it yourself, we need to be concerned that perhaps you didn't do it properly. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, even though we've been learning that there is no requirement for a Beis Din Mumcha, or any Beis Din is acceptable, still, even though we don't have necessarily a professional Beis Din, the Beis Din that we have is going to make sure that everything is being done properly and they're getting the true value for the property. But when there's when it's the person herself, it's the wife herself who's buying the property, we need to be concerned that she didn't make sure to pay the proper place. Says the Gemara, Kahu da Gavra. And the Gemara tells us an episode. Kahu da Gavra, Tafkid de Gabe Kissa de Yasmi. There was a situation where Beis Din gave a person the animal food that he should sell it on behalf of the Yisoymim. Also, Shamal and Nafshim Barim Mezuz. And that person decided that the value of this is 400 Zuz and bought it himself. I could come B'Shit Meir. And actually, then the price of this animal food went up to 600. Ozerloi Kameid Rav Ami. And they came to Rav Ami and said that the transaction is not a valid transaction. Man Samloch. And again, both Pshatim that we've quoted are to be understood. Either the Pshat is, who made you, there isn't a valid transaction because there wasn't a seller and a buyer. Because if you are both the seller and the buyer, it's not considered a halachically valid transaction. Or the other pshat that we learned, man samlach, how could you yourself be the person to be the one to sell? We need to be concerned that you're not going to be doing property. So now that we've established that the person, she can't sell it to herself, the question comes back, what is the halacha when almana is selling assets of the Yisoymim? Does she need to make a shvua as we started today's shir? And is achraza required? So says the Gemara, the hilchos of the halacha is tzricha shvua. She needs to make a shvua that she sold it for the proper price. However, ve'en tzricha achraza. The halacha is that achraza is not required. And it turns out to be very interesting that when Beis Din sells property of the Yisoymim, the halacha is that hachraza is required. But almana who sells property of the Yisoymim, the halacha is that hakhraz is not required. And of course, Taisus asked the question, why is there a difference between Bezdin and the Yisoymim? And he answers based on a Gemara that we're going to be learning. When Bezdin sells it, unless the price that they got was significantly incorrect, the sale stands. And that's why, to make sure that the Yisoymim don't lose out, we need Achrozah to make sure the Bezdin will get the proper price. However, when she sells the property, if there's as we're going to be learning, if she didn't get the proper price, the sale will be nullified. Since we always have much easier way to nullify the sale, that's why Chazal did not require that when she sells the property, there should be an achraza, and the halacha was that the halacha is that achraza is not required. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe Chayshe Mishpat Chelik Aleph Simet Samaches. There was an individual who's a gabe tztaka, and the person who was the gabe of the shul, the gabe of the tztaka, decided that he deserves a salary, and because he has a lot of authority in this institution, he decided on his own what his salary should be. And Ramosha writes, using the concept that we just learned in our Gemara, a man somlach, that a person, we have to be very careful, especially when we're dealing with mom and stock up, that you can't make that decision yourself. There has to be a decision by the board of directors or whatever. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon Reish Nun Zayin Sif Bey says, Gabit Tzedakah She'elam Aniyim L'chalik. Let's say Baruch Hashem, everybody should have this problem. There's a Gabit Tzedakah who has Tzedakah money available, and there are no poor people that need Tzedakah. V'choshesh Shenheim, Shamaas HaNechoshesh V'yadim Yachlidu. As we often discuss, in those days, money wasn't accounted by its value. The coins themselves had the value. And if there's a concern that these coins will get rusty, the copper coin will get rusty, they're allowed to exchange those copper coins for better coins, but the halacha is that only may be done rak etzel acherim. They can exchange the money for someone else. Avloy yifrit b'mar shel atzmam. They can't use their own coins. I'll switch it for my own coins. It's not allowed. Why? When a person is working with stock of money, we have to be extremely concerned. And therefore, the halacha is that he has to, even if he's changing money, he shouldn't change for himself, he should change for somebody else. Going on to our Gemara, the question is that the Almana, the Gemara told us, that bought this property for herself, that, the Gemara says, that Layasa Klum, it's not considered a valid kinyan. The question is, what happens if she bought the property, but she bought the property and sold it for someone else? So at the end of the day, it's not staying with her. So we follow Rashi's opinion that the issue in our Gemara is that the sale is not considered a valid sale because there is no seller and a buyer. She ultimately, after she bought it for herself, sold it to someone else. But if the concern is that she is not, when it's herself who's buying it, that luck is, we need to be concerned that maybe she didn't give the proper value. So even if she ultimately sold it to someone else, it wouldn't make a difference. The fact that she bought it, and the Gemara just expressed this concern of misamlach, then the halacha is that it's not value. And the Cheshukei Chemed, in fact, brings down an interesting shaila. He says, somebody went over to a real estate broker, and he said, I have an apartment to sell. I would like to get $250,000 for this apartment. The real estate agent comes back to the seller, and he says that I can't find a customer for $250,000. I can only find a customer for $150,000. The seller was very desperate for cash, and he sold it for that amount. Then he discovered that who was the one that bought the property for this $150,000? The real estate broker himself. And not only did he find out that the real estate broker himself was the one who bought it for $150,000, he, the real estate broker, ultimately sold the apartment to someone else for $250,000. So the seller claims that the apartment was worth all along $250,000, that the broker did not really try to sell this apartment properly because he had in mind to buy it for himself at the lower price and then ultimately be able to sell it. And the broker says that when I bought the property, that was indeed the situation. I could not find anybody that would be willing to buy it for less, for more than $150,000. I saw, says this broker, how anxious you were to sell the property. And not only did he say that I didn't do anything wrong, I actually did you a favor because you were so anxious to sell the property and I was the one that took it off your hands. And that seems to be our Gemara. Our Gemara is referring to a situation, as we kept on saying, man somloch. The halach is that the person can't be the one to buy it for himself. In fact, the Torah in Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Ayin Hey says that let's say I ask somebody to sell a property on my behalf, and the person who I ask to sell the property is my Bar Metzra. He has a property right next to my property, and the halacha is that a Bar Metzra, somebody who owns property next to my property, has right of first refusal. He has the right to buy that property first. The question is, can that shliach, who's the Bar Mitzra, be the person to buy the property? And the Torah says that since he's a shliach, and since our Gemara just established that by a shliach we have the concern of mis samlach, the halacha is that he can't, even if he's a Bar Mitzra, and even if the halacha always gives a Bar Mitzra much rights, here he wouldn't have those rights. And there are a number of considerations that we have to think about, says the Chashuki Chemin in our question. One is the broker saying that there was nobody else to, the broker saying nobody could buy it. But is the broker considered, going back to the Pshat that Rashi said, a different individual? Or is the broker considered an extension of the seller, and that's why we don't have a valid transaction because there was no seller or a buyer? The other concern is Chashad, as we gave the other pshat in the Rishonim, that we need to be concerned that maybe it wasn't done properly. And particularly over here, as we're going to be learning in the Shiurim, where if there's something that has a specific price, so then if the buyer bought it, if the broker bought it, so he bought it at the price that was set. So there is no concern that he did something improper because he paid the price that was asked for. But here, there was no specific price, and that's why there's a concern of man somloch. And that's why, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he quotes his brother-in-law, Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, quotes his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, who says that certainly the broker can't buy the apartment. He says even furthermore, he says that whenever somebody hires a real estate broker to sell a property on his behalf, it's as if he's saying, sell this property to anybody but yourself. So even though, as we said, in this case, this broker ultimately sold the property to somebody else, so the concern that we mentioned, that this is not considered a proper sale, it wasn't sold from the seller to the buyer, that concern we don't have here. We don't have it because it did ultimately end up with another buyer. And since it ultimately ended up with another buyer, that is a proper transaction. But the other concern that we've been discussing of chshad, that it looks unseemly, it looks that maybe something dishonest happened here, is certainly something that we need to be concerned about in this case. And that's why the halacha is that in this case, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the seller of the property could say that the deal ought to be voided because of chshad, because of what the Gemara just said, man somlach. Says the Mishnah, amana shayse ksubasa masayim. We have amana that has a ksuba that's worth masayim, or machra, and she took property of the assignment, and she sold the property of the assignment, or machra, she sold the property of the assignment, shava mana, which the property was really worth only a mana, she was able to get a masayim. And she claims that since this property is really worth a mana, the halacha ought to view that she only got a mana, and that she still owed another mana, or vice versa. The property shava masayim, the property is worth 200, and she took a very cheap price for it. She sold it for a mana. She sold it only for mana. Now, halacha is that since the property is really worth masayim, it's considered as if niskabel ksubasa, if she received her ksuba. The pashta question, of course, here is, and this is going to be a concept that we're going to be discussing, in halacha, we often speak about einor. In halacha, we often speak about a property that was something that was sold not for the right price, and if it's more than a sixth of off the right price, the sale is null and void. So here, if somebody sold a property that's worth 200 for 100, or vice versa, why is there no consideration of einor? And the Rishonim explained that we're going to be learning this often, that ein einor l'kakos. By real estate, there is no concept of einor. Says the Mishnah further, ha'isek subasa mana. If the property was worth a mana, the machra shava mana, the dinner of a mana, and she sold a property that was worth a mana of a dinner, and she only got a mana for it, the halacha is that mechra batal, the sale is null and void, because she didn't sell it for the proper value, and she has no right. Even though, as we've been learning, that almana has a right to sell properties to collect what is due to her, she has no right to sell it if she's going to cause a loss to the yusayman. But feel amas. So let's say she'll say, "Achsa dinner. I realize that I caused the yusayman a loss of a dinner, so I'll return the dinner to him, to them. Achsa dinner liyarshim mechre batel." Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees, and he says, "La'olam mechra kayin." She, of course, says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, will have to give back this extra dinner to the yarshim, but the sale is a sale. When, to what degree, says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, do I keep the sale a valid sale? Achtei sham kadesh shayir. There has to be in a property that she sold improperly, that if she wouldn't have sold that piece of land, if she would have sold it with the proper price, the assignment would have been left with a piece of property, the soda, they would have been left with a piece of property, bas teshus kabim, where they could plant 9 kab of seed by a wheat field, or begina, by a garden, by a vegetable garden, they would be left with a piece of property that you could plant on them, bas chatzikav, a chatzikav of seed. Ukadivar Rukiva, this follows the opinion of Rukiva that says that he said something that it has to just be base roiva. That if the Yusoimim would have been left with a piece of property where they could plant a quarter of a kav, it's not considered a valid sale. Says the Mishnah Ksuba Abba Mezos, if Shah Ksuba was worth 400 zuz, and she took the property and she sold it in pieces. She sold the property to different people, but the last person, she sold it at the wrong price. So the halacha, says the Mishnah, is shel achron batel, the last sale is invalid, the shekulan, and all the other sales, mechron kayim. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about a case where shavim asayim b'mana, that if she sold a piece of property that was worth 200 for only a mana, the halacha is, it's considered that even though she only received a mana, and the ksuba is a masayim mana, it's considered as if she got her whole ksuba payment. It's considered as if she got a whole ksuba payment. Why? Because the Yisoyim have the right to tell her, the Amrilei, at afsadata, you caused the loss to yourself. So ask the Gemara, so why in the other case, where she was very successful, shava manah b'masayim, where she was able to sell a piece of property that's only worth a mana, and she got masayim for that piece of property, why can't she claim, namit tema anar vachna? I was the one that was successful in making this profit. If you want to blame her, you should also be able to give her the credit. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Kanchan Rabbi, in our Mishnah that says that the Yisoyimim are always the ones that end up with the upper hand, Rabbi taught us over here that whenever you send a shliach to do something or buy something on your behalf, and the shliach was very successful, and he bought something at a great price, the prophet, Hakol Balamos, the profit goes to the person who sent the shliach. Kiritanya, as we're going to learn a brisa, a shliach was sent to buy a certain amount of material. And the seller, Hasifalai Achas Yaseira, the seller gave him some extra. So Hakol Shliach, the Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says that everything that goes to the shliach. We assume that the buyer who gave him extra gave it to him because he wanted him to come back and buy here again, and therefore it belongs to the shliach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Yai Machalkin. And the Gemara explains this machalikus. Says the Gemara, first the Gemara asks a question. V'tanya, ham we learned in the Brice that Rabbi Yosi Yai Machal Balamos, that everything goes to the person who sent him, not to the shliach. And here Rabbi Yosi said, Chalkin. How do we reconcile that? Answers the Gemara Amar Rabbi Chama Lakasha. Kama Dovah Shesh Lakitza. Something that has a specific price. And I bought something at a price, and then the seller gave me extra. There we say that it's considered a gift. And therefore we're not sure who did the seller want to give the gift to. Did he want to give the gift to the shliach, or did he want to give the gift to the person whose money was being used? And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, since we have this question, because he bought something that has a specific price, so there's no question what the price is, and there's no question what is the extra, and we don't know who is the one that the seller wanted to be nice to, so the halacha, says Rabbi Yossi, is chalkin. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that we give it to the shliach, as we said a moment ago, because Rabbi Yehuda's thinking is that the seller wants the shliach to keep on coming back to his store, whether he's buying for himself or whether he's buying for people who are selling him. And how does he incentivize him to come back and again? By giving him this gift. But, says Rabbi Yossi, bedovish ein lo kitzva, something that doesn't have a firm price. It's not that firm. Sometimes it's sold for more, sometimes it's sold for less. There, if the shliach was able to find it at a better price, that certainly belongs to the person who he's working on his behalf. It's not a situation where the seller wanted to give a gift. By Dovish Yesh LeKitzvah, we could assume the seller wanted to give a gift. We just don't know to whom he wanted to give the gift. Did he want to give the gift to the shliach, or did he want to give the gift to the person whose money was being used? But in this case, there's no gift involved. The shliach was just successful in getting this at a better price. And therefore, the halach is the entire value, the amount goes to the Baal Mos. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And that's why in our Mishnah, where the almana is considered the shliach of the Yisoyimim to sell the property, and the property is not something that has a firm price. Sometimes you can get a better price, sometimes you can get a weaker price, and the Gemara is establishing that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and karka, property that's being sold, bought in our Mishnah, is a davish ein lo kitzva, and we're saying that when we have a davish ein lo kitzva, the profit, the extra, goes to the Baal Amos. And therefore, if this Amona, as we just explained in our Mishnah, was very successful and was able to sell a piece of property that's worth $100 for $200, the extra $100 is not viewed as a gift. It's viewed as payment for the karka, and the payment for the karka belongs to the assignment. And the Gemara tells us the halacha. Amar Papa Hilchasa. The halacha is davish yesh lekitzvah. If the halacha is that they bought something that has a firm price, and you got extra. The best example would be if you bought a dozen eggs, and a dozen eggs has a price, and the seller gave you an extra egg or two. The halacha is cholkim. The shaliach and the mishaliach divide that profit. However, if what was bought and sold was a davar she'ein lo kitzvah, hakol bal mos. Says my Mike Mashmon. All Rav Papa should have said, asked the Gemara, is that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Why did Rav Papa have to spell it all out? Answers. The Gemara, what Rav Papa was trying to teach us, the shnir de shniyun, the way Rav Bechama explained Rav Yossi opinion, and that he differentiated between a davish yesh le kitzvah and a davish ein le kitzvah, shnuyahu is considered a proper explanation and should be followed lahalacha. So Rashi, as we explained, explains the Gemara that if it's a davish yesh le kitzvah, then the halacha is that it's obvious that the extra items were included as a gift, and therefore it should be divided between the shliach and the mishliach. Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, disagrees with Rashi. Because Rabbeinu Tam over here applies the concept of Hamaitzim Chaveroi Olav Haraya. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, the gift was given to the Shliach. And since the gift was given to the Shliach should be considered the Muchzik. And now, when the person who gave him the money says, well, I deserve some of it, we should apply the rule of Hamaitzim Chaveroi Olav Haraya. And because of this, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif explain the reason the Shliach and the Mishaleach are considered partners in a bonus, because it's considered like they're partners in a business. They explain that often we have a business arrangement where one person provides the money and the other person provides the expertise. The Rabbeinu Tam and Rif, in explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion, view this case as such a situation. The Shliach is providing the expertise, the Mashaleach is providing the money, and that's why the Halacha says that it should be divided. So the Ran points out, according to Rashi's explanation, if the seller explicitly says that the person he's trying to benefit is the Shliach, so then, according to Rashi's explanation, Rabbi Yossi would agree that the entire amount should be given to the Shliach. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam and Rif say it doesn't make a difference. Since they're partners, anything that the business profits should be divided. What would be the halacha if the Shliach purchased the items from a non-Jew who gave extra items, where there may be a heter to hold on to it? According to Rabbeinu Tam, they'll still have to be divided because they're partners. According to Rashi, where it was clearly the Shliach who was successful, they would not have to divide it. There's a very interesting discussion. There are many discussions about this question about a Shliach and a Mishaleach dividing property. What's the halacha? Who get dividing something extra? What will be the halacha? There's a question where somebody got an extra lottery ticket. And the question was, the shliach was given a lottery ticket, and then that lottery ticket was successful. Who will we say should be the winner of that money? Because here, there's another interesting factor to be taken into consideration. It was the mazel of the person who got the lottery ticket that it won. And whose mazel should we attribute it to? The Keshuk Echemen also speaks about this type of a situation. He speaks about where somebody was asked to purchase furniture on behalf of someone else. And he went to the furniture store and he bought a whole home full of furniture. And the person who owned that business gave the shliach a shtender. And the question is, who should the shtender go to? Should it go to the shliach or the mishalayach? And he says that we should apply the concepts that we've learned in our shiur. That if it's a davar sheyesh lekitzma, if it has a firm price, it should be divided. If it's a davar shein lekitzva, Rabbi Yossi says, it goes to the shliach. But he adds another factor into this conversation. And the other factor that the Cheshuki Chemet adds into the consideration is sometimes we also have to look at the circumstances. He explains, if the shliach is a tam chacham, so he has use for a shtender, and the mishaleach is not a talmud chacham, so he doesn't really have much use for a shtender. Or he says vice versa, where the person whose money is being used is a person who is a talmud chacham. So it's obvious that the person who owns the store says, you bought so much furniture by me, you're buying a home full of furniture, your home is a home that should have a shtender, so I'm throwing it in. And the shliach is not a talmud chacham. So he adds that into the consideration. The circumstances around what happened here, where it will be evident who the person who sold it, who gave the extra meant, will be taken into consideration. So certainly, the halacha is that if we go back to the person who gave extra, and he explicitly says what his intention was, then the halacha is they considered that we follow what he says. The Paiskim discuss a following situation. The Shevet HaLevi discusses where somebody traveled overseas, and this question comes up often. Somebody traveled overseas on behalf of someone else, and because he bought a ticket, he got an extra free ticket, he got points. Who was the owner of those points? Is it the shliach who did the travel, or the person who paid for the ticket? Says the Shevet HaLevi says that it's considered that points are certainly belong to the person who paid the ticket. But he says that's only where it's obvious. I traveled on behalf of someone else. They pay for the ticket. The ticket brings along points. Then the points belong to the person who pays for the ticket. He says that, however, if I could have chosen, I was so sent on a trip and somebody else paid for the ticket. And I could have chosen different airlines to fly with. And I chose this airline because I know that this airline gives points. And maybe it wasn't even necessarily convenient to travel with this airline. And since I was the one that paid for the points, then he says in this halacha, in this case, the points would belong to the shliach. Another similar shaila, that we have a person who owns a house, and the tenant paid for the insurance. And Rachman and Tzlan, there was a fire. And now the question is, now the insurance pays whatever payment. Who is entitled to the payment? Is it the tenant who paid for the insurance policy? Or is it the owner of the house? Because the tenant doesn't really pay for the house. It seems that the Shaila Meisha paskins that the tenant is only allowed to recoup what he paid for the insurance, whatever specific loss he had. But if there's extra, that's not his, because he didn't own the house, and that extra would go to the landlord. Ibailuhu, ask the Gemara. Amalei zavinli liska. Somebody told someone else, sell a lesach, that's the area of a chatzi kor, where you could plant 15 saw of tefuah. And he said to shliach, sell a liska of my property. Vazov zavinli kora. And the shliach sold a car, double of what he was told. my. So of course, what was not told to me to sell, what I wasn't appointed to sell, it's not going to be a valid sale. The question is, on the first half that I was appointed to sell, will it be considered a valid sale or not? Do we say, Moisev Advarvhu, I did more than I was told, but what I was told to do, the sale is a sale. Idilma, Mavel Advarvhava, it's considered that I didn't do what I was told, and that's why, V'lishchalami Laikani, the question is that it's, the sale is entirely null and void. In Halacha, there's a concept of Me'ila. If somebody takes something which belongs to Hegdish Techulin, the Halacha is that you considered Me'il Behegdish. When we speak about Me'il Behegdish, it means that it's B'shogig, that the person wasn't aware that this object is Hegdish, and therefore he's Chayiv Asham Me'ilis, and he has to pay back the Hegdish a Karen V'chaymish. There's a fundamental, there's a discussion that when Hegdish is, when there's Me'ila B'Hegdish, it could be done by the person who knew it's Hegdish, by the person who has that object, or it could be done by the Shliach. So even though the Halachi is B'Kol HaTorah Kula, we know there's a rule, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and if you ask me to do something which is not allowed to be done, and I did it, I'm the one that's considered having done the Aveira, not the one that appointed me. Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. By Me'ila, there's a special limud that teaches us that if somebody asks me to be Moyel, then the Mishaleach is considered the Moyel and not the Shliach. It says the Gemara, Amar of Yaakov, in the Harp, Kod Mishmed Ravina, Toshma, Amar Baal Bais L'Shluchai. If a Baal Bais, this is a Mishnah Masechta Me'ila, a Baal Bais tells his Shliach, tell him, Chatiches Lorchim. Give them, he tells, give these people one piece of meat that's in my house to these guests. Vu'aymer, and the Shliach tells these guests, Tulushtaim, two pieces of meat. Ve'heinat Tulusholish, and they took three pieces of meat, Kulam Malu, and these pieces of meat turn out to be Hegdish meat, we all will have been Moyel. The Baal Bais was Moyel because he asked them to use a piece of meat that was Hegdish. The Shliach was Moyel because he took the extra piece of meat, which he wasn't instructed to. And the Archim, the guests, are considered that they were Moyel because they took the third piece, which not the Baal Bais or the Shliach told them to take. Now, says the Gemara, as it relates to our question, that when a Shliach does more than he was told, it doesn't cancel the entire Shliach's, because he did do what the Baal Bais told him. He did that plus, and therefore the Baal Bais is considered a Moyel. Ella, says the Gemara, if you're going to suggest, that if I don't do what I was told, if I did more than I was told, the whole Shliach's is nullified. So the question is, Baal Bais, am I Moyel? For Tanan, if the Shliach carries out what he was told to do, then the Mishnah Masechta Me'ila Daf Chaf Amud Beis tells us the Baal Bais Moyel. But if he didn't do as he was instructed, even though we just said that by Me'ila, if you do as you are instructed, the Mishaleach is considered the Moyel, not the Shliach, but that's only if you did what you were told. And if you didn't do as you were told, Shliach Mol. Obviously, this Mishnah is teaching us that if you did more than what you were told, you're still considered a Shliach. Answers the Gemara. Hachemai Skinen, there's a different way of explaining. Hachemai Skinen, the Amalu Tlu Achas Midatash Baal Bais. He said, he separated the pieces. He made it very clear that the first piece is being taken because the Baal Bais said to take it. V'achas, he said, is being taken because I told you to take it. And the third piece they took was because they decided to take it. So each piece is being clearly attributed to the person who it should be attributed to. That's why, since the first piece and the second piece are kept separate, that's why it's considered that he's still considered the Shliach of the Baal Bais. But if he would have, as in the case of Al Gemara, where he was told to sell a Chatzikor, and instead of selling a chatzi car, he sold a whole car. So he didn't sell a chatzi car and a chatzi car, and he kept them separately. He sold one whole car, which is not what he was told. It could very well be that in such a case, the shlichus is considered canceled, and even the first chatzi car, even the lesser he sold, is not considered a valid sale.